Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Versus the coronavirus.
Who takes on the world whenever he's on the air? Chad, Chris takes on the Twitter universe, the sports world. He takes on everyone.
I mean, it is enough on that. I'm arguing with people 20 hours a day. I've stopped that. I give it up. I'm not going to waste my time with any more numbnuts. Occasionally, I'm going to get a jab in or two every day. But I mean,
occasionally.
Occasionally. Right. If you look at the last year, okay, I mean, I certainly have sparred with a few people, disagreed with a few people. I'm not saying that I don't, including today. But I am nowhere near my reputation, nowhere near what I used to be and what people made me out to be. I have learned my lesson. It is better not to waste my time on the Nimrods than to fight with them. I'll just leave it.
Well, you know, I'm thinking you and I worked in Chicago for a time, not together, but same yes. place. There was a guy there, Papa Joe Chevalier, who did the sports buffet. Chris Russell, when he's on, it's like the sports battle royale is what I'm trying to get at.
R.I.P. Papa Joe Chevalier.
I got to tell you.
For 6 years and was quite the character.
I have to tell you. When I was 20 years old, 1990, I put an all-sports station on AM 960 in Salisbury, Maryland. Do you know who my afternoon drive show was?
Papa Joe
Chevalier.
How about that?
Here's your table. Come right this way. Your table is waiting. It's the sports buffet or something.
How about Bite Me Wednesday, which was
They did it. He was doing it out of a casino in Las Vegas, and it was a fledgling startup network that they were doing out of a casino in Las Vegas at the time. So I was trying to put on a station. I couldn't carry WFAN or a simulcast of what we were doing in DC at the time. So I got them and put them on. I think him, John Renshaw, some really good guys. But Papa Joe Cervalia, my goodness gracious, that's turning the clock back. That guy was unique. There's no question about it.
You know, I just think WrestleMania should be the sports battle royale when he's on. I mean, I know he's got so many different monikers, theme songs, walkout musics. I got none of that. I don't have any of the production value.
I'm trying to be more calm. I'm trying to be more, I guess, less confrontational.
Russell is what you're saying.
Here's the thing that I'm already sensing. I don't know about you guys. I do walk the plank a lot more than probably you guys and more than the average person. You say anything bad about Dwayne Haskins in this town, you're going to have the mob coming after you. You are going to have a group of angry people coming
after
you.
Fantastic transition here to a different topic. I love it. And here's why. I feel like right now, and I have tweeted a couple of things here of late, I've done a lot of research on Dwayne, and I am at least publicly in, as a media member, I am in the Haskins camp. And here's a couple of things that, you know, I went to a graphic that our guy Warren Sharp had where they were talking about how great Joe Burrow was in terms of this advanced metric on first down and things of that nature. Well, I looked at it. I looked at the same metrics that they were using to show why Joe Burrow was so good. Well, guess what? Just a couple of spots right behind him and ahead of Patrick Mahomes and everything in the same thing, in college, was Dwayne Haskins. And the staff at Ohio State thought that Dwayne Haskins was better than Joe Burrow. So at some point, somebody who knows what the hell they're doing showed some confidence and saw the skills of Dwayne Haskins and at Ohio State and said, this is our guy. Now, granted, Joe Burrow went and got in Joe Brady's offense and looked 10 times the quarterback that he was the previous year in a different offense. And I'm not saying Dwayne is going to be Joe, and I'm not saying Joe's going to come to the pros and do what he did at LSU, because I think you're a fool if you think that guy's coming into that Bengals situation as it stands right now and is going to play that way, because he doesn't have the Justin Jeffersons, the Jamar Chases, the Clyde Edwards-Hilaires, the Thaddeus Mosses of the world on that roster right now. Those guys don't exist over there. You've got a broken down A.J. Green. You've got a running back situation that's okay, but nothing, you know, that you would call otherworldly. So if you think Joe Burrow is going to come in there and look like that, he's going to get the same criticisms that we were harping on Dwayne Haskins over six games in the NFL this year. I think Dwayne Haskins deserves to have more of a sample size before, you know, we convict him of not being an NFL quarterback. Yes, is there a moment? I know this week, the topic this week was, oh, he tweeted the picture that he took with the fans in the stands. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're not doing anything. What does that hurt?
Let me jump in on that, Earl, because
who brought that
did,
up on Twitter?
Yeah, and that was me. I wrote a column about it. I got to be honest with you. It kind of irked me, and I think it irked.
Why?
I mean,
what does it hurt in the middle of a pandemic?
Well, let me explain.
Go ahead.
And it irked more than just me. I'll leave it at that. Okay. Here's my deal. Everybody knows that was a you don't make that kind of, you don't do that in football, right? Everybody, he admitted days after that, look, I learned a lesson. I'll never do it again. Whatever exactly his quote was. Bill Callahan, you know, and I know he's just the interim head coach. He was very clear about how disappointed he was. It became a national spectacle. It was a dumb thing to do. Okay, it was a dumb, immature thing to do. And for him to go do that 5 months later, to repost it and to caption it however he captioned it, no crime was committed. He did nothing awful. Let's start with that. But to me, it shows a lack of maturity. And this is a major, major, major criticism and concern that people around the NFL have. And I think it's a major criticism or concern that even Urban Meyer had. I think it's a concern, criticism that Jay Gruden and Kyle Smith had last year. And who is the general manager right now, essentially, the de facto general manager? I think there are people, whether they're right or wrong, that see a lot of phoniness in Dwayne Haskins. Again, they don't have to be right, but the same people were screamed at when they said the same thing essentially about Robert Griffin III, and that pretty much got exposed and served up on a silver platter.
Right, but why did Urban Meyer play him and basically say, well, Joe, it's okay for you to leave? Because, if they had any concerns about Haskins,
because at 19 or 20, Pete, you can play a kid and expect that he's going to be a little bit immature if he's got enormous raw talent like Dwayne
Haskins. The guy threw 50 freaking touchdowns.
Right, exactly. But that doesn't have anything to do with maturity. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, to me, was the best quarterback in the draft last year, even ahead of Kyler Murray. I thought he was the best quarterback in the draft last year, and maybe I'll be right, maybe I'll be wrong, I don't know. Maybe I dismissed Kyler Murray. I know everyone else loved Kyler Murray. But to me, one of the things that I did not know enough about when it came to evaluating Dwayne Haskins was what now I know and what I've seen cases and examples of, and what others around the NFL and in that building have said on and off the record, and that is he's got a lot of maturity issues, he needs to grow up, and they don't fully trust him, period. and they're not sure how hard he works. And so these are all the criticisms and all the things that we have to keep in mind. Nobody is questioning how talented Dwayne Haskins is. As a matter of fact, the only thing I can question, quite honestly, he might hold on to the ball too. I think he does. He holds on to the ball too long, but that's okay. That's a young kid trying to learn the offense, trying to learn how to play at NFL speed. That's going to get better. But that's the only question that I have from a football, pure football standpoint. All the other intangible stuff, I got to be honest with you, I and many others have questions about.
Sure. Chris, there's no question about that. If you go back and look at that, like you said, he even admitted that, you know, he shouldn't have done that. But if we see that again, then yes, that's a problem. Doing it once like that, that's a brief issue. If he keeps doing it, then yes, by all means, we have a bigger issue than right. just his ability to be
well,
able to find open receivers and make reads and things of that nature.
They'll figure that out quickly this year, is how I would put it.
Or will they? We don't even know how much time they're going to have to figure this out, to be honest with you, Chris.
Yeah, but I mean, at some point, and, you know, Earl, I don't know, weigh in on this. I mean, at some point when we get back to somewhat normal, see, this is what I didn't understand. I love J.P. Finley. I didn't understand why he so authoritatively came out and said he walked away from Ron Rivera saying Dwayne Haskins is definitely the starter. Ron didn't say that. Ron didn't even indicate that to me. He indicated that more to Jenny Vrentas of the MMQB than he did in our conference call together on Tuesday. There's no doubt, in my opinion, that Dwayne Haskins, on paper, for whatever paper is worth, goes in as the number one quarterback whenever we convene in Richmond. However, whether it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or 6 weeks before the season, whenever the date is, I don't think this battle, I don't think this competition, I don't think this position is settled in any way, shape, or form. They are going to have to see this kid burn rubber, and they are going to have to see this kid really work his ass off. And, you know, again, I'll just keep saying they have their doubts. It's not to say that they've made a decision one way or the other. I truly don't believe they have. They have their doubts and they have their reservations, period.
Well, we're taking over Chad's show today. We had to because Chad had a power issue at home. We're hoping to get him back maybe at some point today. In the meantime, Earl, Pete, Chris Russell with you as we continue on our own.
And you guys kind of dismissed it. And maybe it's no big deal. I don't know. To me, just the selfie thing on Instagram, the before Stephon Diggs got traded to the Bills, where he's posting about Stephon Diggs in a uniform, in a Redskin. To me, there's little things that just irk me, and I'm trying really, really hard to keep it all in balance and to say, hey, look, he was my favorite quarterback coming out of the draft. I think he's a stud in terms of talent. I know he's more mobile than people thought he was coming out of Ohio State. I don't have many questions about him except the ability to stay healthy and to avoid sacks on the football field. It's all off the field stuff for me.
And who knows how much what they do on defense is going to help that offense as well. And they've signed all these running backs. But look, and you mentioned, and it's not to bang on J.P. Finley, NBC Sports Washington, but he's kind of been the guy really first and foremost when a lot of these moves are made, even when Kyle Allen was signed, saying, well, this shows you Dwayne Haskins is going to be the guy. And I don't know if it's that plain and simple, Russell and Pete, because, and you mentioned, Chris, now, it depends on how you read things as well. Now, I know there are those that said, well, Ron's already said that Dwayne's going to be the starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard it that way. Here's what was actually said, if I can recall right, Russell, you may recall it better than I do, but it was when Ron took over and he was asked, is Dwayne your starting quarterback? I think was the question. And he said, that's the plan right now, but, and then he goes on into, you got to show it, you got to prove. So, you know, you can say, well, he said he's the starting quarterback. Well, that's for now. Now, we know the move was made, obviously, to bring in a guy he does know well, Kyle Allen, who got a lot of playing time last year in Carolina. This Rivera presser that he had, talked for about half an hour or so this week leading up to the draft and some offseason stuff. Here's what he had to say about why he brought in his former Carolina quarterback to D.C.
I just know what kind of person he is and just feel that he's the kind of guy that's going to go on this. He's not threatened by anything. What he's really concerned about is doing the best job he can. And if he ends up starting and being the guy, great. He'll be fired up about it. And if he's not, if he's in a backup role, he'll be fired up about that as well. I mean, he's the right kind of person for that room. And that's what I felt really strongly about.
Well, and to me, Russell, that says, and without saying it, he's the right kind of person, because maybe I don't have that person yet in that room. You know, and who knows about Alex Smith, whatever. But the longer this goes, and you mentioned then following up with Jenny Vrentis, who did an extended interview with Ron, kind of went above and beyond that, saying, well, you know, pretty much saying that if this thing, you know, the delays in the season get late, the later it goes, the more of an advantage that would be for Kyle Allen to maybe be what you think is possible for him to be the starter whenever they start the season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, again, I truly believe this situation is not settled in any way, shape, or form until we get on the football field, right? I think there's doubts about, even Ron said to Jenny Vrentis on Tuesday, I guess it was, after our, look, you know, for whatever he said about having 2 weeks and maybe Kyle Allen would start, but he was like, for a period of time. I think everybody understands there's a shelf life on Kyle Allen. And Pete, Earl, we saw it last year, right? Now, as Carolina's offensive line disintegrated and they really only had one healthy guy, Trey Turner, who they then turned around and traded, by the way, not the national shortstop, this offseason, they really only had one. So, you know, that was in conjunction with his play disintegrating over the course of time. But he was undrafted for a reason, right? There is no doubt that Dwayne Haskins, if he is everything that people think he is the better quarterback. He is the more talented quarterback. He should be the quarterback of this team. And I believe ultimately he will. But whether it's a short training camp, no offseason, which we know we're going to have, short training camp or regular training camp and regular preseason, I just feel like the language and the terminology is going to be a bigger hill to climb than people think it's going to be, even though this past week he was finally able, and I haven't been able to confirm that he actually got it, but that was what they were allowed to do, was download the playbook onto their iPads so he can start learning the terminology. He just can't meet with coaches, and he can obviously look at film with coaches, and he, of course, can't practice in and out of the huddle, because there is none of that stuff. So at least he can start learning it right now.
Which, by the way, I think under these circumstances, you know, under these circumstances right now, these guys should be waived. You should be able to communicate with your players and do whatever you got to do right now, because you're losing incredible preparation time for a new administration, especially if you got a veteran team coming back and you've got the same coaches all coming back. This is not going to be that big of a deal for those teams. But for new administration like you have here, where there's, you know, new defensive terminology, I mean, this could be on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an incredible disadvantage for the Redskins because of the situation they're in. And it's just like and you brought up, you know, today on your Twitter feed and, you know, about brought up the Redskins and the association with Tua. And I think Ron Rivera is just doing whatever he can to drive up the potential price of whether somebody calls them at the last minute and makes them a deal they can't refuse. But otherwise, you go get Chase Young, you make the defense as good as you possibly can, that way your offense has a lot more margin for error. Mm-hmm. And I do believe it'll be easier for the defensive guys to learn what Jack Del Rio is doing as opposed to learning you know, Scott Turner's offense with all of the new pieces. You're going to have new offensive linemen. You're going to have, obviously, probably at some point, you've got new tight ends that are going to be into the mix, in addition to Henches and Sprinkle, who were on the roster, obviously, from last year. Sure, you got a bell cow and Adrian Peterson. He's going to help. You don't know what you're going to get out of Darius Geis. My gosh, you'd love to have a playmaker like that stay healthy for more than a couple of games. I mean, he's a guy that, when he touches the football, can be electric, but so far, we've seen nothing but, you know, the motor getting unplugged there with Darius Geis. But if he can somehow manage to stay healthy, which you can't count on at this point, but you hope for the player it happens, you know, then you've at least got some building blocks, and your defense looks like it's going to be at least representative until your offense catches up. And, you know, I just, again, just to put the wraps on the Dwayne Haskins thing, he's going to play his way either into the long-term spot as the quarterback of the Redskins, or Kyle Allen is here in case he shows he can't do that. And ironically, coming out of high school, Allen was the much more ballyhooed player. I mean, Dwayne Haskins was basically getting ready to go to Maryland until Ohio State came in at the last minute and made the offer.
Kyle Allen was a five-star out of high school, Pete. I mean, you know that. And at Texas A&M, I mean, he was there after Manziel.
Yep,
and then Kyler Murray
to
took over after, you know, he lost the job. And, you know, so, look, all these guys have the talent. There's no doubt. And I think that's what you're waiting to see, certainly with Dwayne Haskins, after investing the 15th overall pick. And you're right, he's going to play his way in or out of that role as a Redskins starting quarterback at some point, hopefully, this season. But, again, and I told you and Danny this over the weekend when you had me on. Thanks for having me on Sunday, by the way, that we're back to square one, because we were here at this point last year, going into training camp last year with Jay Gruden not really wanting Dwayne Haskins with that top pick. And so he never got any work last year. When he finally got in and was rusty and, to say the least, not prepared to be a starting quarterback, we're all thinking, well, wait now till he gets a full offseason of work. And now you've got the new coaching staff. You brought out brought about a new system, a new offensive coordinator. He's not going to get any work until at least training camp. So we're back kind of to square one, where he's second off season that he can have the iPad and play things virtually all he wants, but you got to be on the field at some point. And they're not going to be
Pete and WrestleMania versus the universe on the Fan. We are ruining everything Chad has worked so hard to build over the years. Hopefully at some point he can rejoin us, but you know how these things are. We may be with you the whole ride today on the Fan. We are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Pete and Russell and I have been talking a lot about the Redskins and some of these comments that Rivera, Ron Rivera had this week, and the Dwayne Haskins situation. Look, and part of this, Russell, and I know you've been, you know, writing a lot and certainly on Twitter a lot about one of the things with when it comes to quarterbacks is Tua Tagovailoa, who was the guy, I know you call him Tago Frank Viola, whatever you like to call him. It's Tuaninga Manalepola Tagovailoa, by the way.
Wow.
Tua is short for Tuaninga Manalepola.
I just call him injured. Tua, he is in my mind.
This gets to the Michael Lombardi, all these podcasts. But, you know, it's true. The former NFL GM says he's been told by at least two teams that Tua failed physicals with them. Now, the question remains, when did these physicals happen? Because people can't check them out, but they probably did at some point before all the restrictions from COVID-19 and all that. But it's not just, and this is, you know, Rex Ryan was spouting off the other day about Tua's injuries, and he said he had heard he had had five surgeries at least at Alabama. Mm-hmm. So a guy who seemingly could have been an option still may be. I mean, Drew Brees failed a physical in Miami, too, that's why Nick Saban's at Alabama right now.
You're right.
You don't really know for sure.
We can make this mistake, you know, over and over and over again and think that just because he fails one team's physical that he's going to fail every every team has a different baseline. And, you know, we found out with just the Trent Williams situation last year, guys, he initially, according to Craig Hoffman's reporting, he initially passed the Redskins physical. And then when he couldn't get the helmet or he struggled and maybe he was doing it for an act or whatever the deal was, then they failed him. So there's different baselines for everything, right? Bashaud Breeland, you mentioned him in your flashes. He signed a big contract with Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers and failed his physical and therefore became a free agent again and lost out. So it happens, right? But the bottom line is with Tua, to me, it's not about failing a physical. And by the way, they would have done those physicals, unless I'm wrong, and you guys might know better than I, but I don't think I'm wrong on this. He did do the physical at the combine in Indianapolis before the COVID-19 restrictions went in. The thing that they cannot do, the thing that has not been able to be done this year like normal years, which is why, again, I've had so many issues with how the NFL has handled their business, is they can't do the normal medical recheck, which is 2 weeks before the draft, which would be essentially tomorrow and Saturday in Indianapolis, where they send all the injured guys, all the guys that were red flagged for injuries, long, short term, whatever the situation is, they send them back to Indianapolis with all the doctors, all the team trainers. That obviously cannot be done this year, nor can individual examinations. So these teams are going in having graded Tagovailoa based on how he was in late February when he didn't have full clearance at that point, but he was making good progress. But not to mention, they also were worried so much about the hip that I'm sure they weren't like testing for every little thing that he's had to deal with over his career at Alabama.
Yeah, there have been multiple injuries. And, Pete, before you go, here's what Lombardi had to say on his podcast, the GM Shuffle, about the physical issues and maybe some of the red flags on Tua Tagovailoa.
It's not just his hip. It's his ankle. It's his wrist. He broke his wrist the first day of spring ball one year. And then they fixed it. And he came back and he rebroke it again. I mean, he's brittle. You can't deny it. You can't deny it. You can say he's a really good player. They don't look at the Mark Sanchez's, the Josh Freeman's, the Jason Campbell's, the J.P. Losman's. They don't look at these names. They all were hot picks. I can remember J.P. Losman was represented by Gary Richard, who Mel Kuypers was very close to. They were talking about J.P. Losman like he was going to be the next coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, and we all make mistakes. I mean, we all make mistakes. Look, I'm not disputing the evaluation. I'm saying that they flunked him on not just the hip, on the multitude of injuries. Like, the risk far outweighs the reward.
Except for the fact you may be getting a franchise quarterback. So that was Lombardi on his podcast. And Pete, the risk-reward, that's what teams are going to have to weigh. Now, Lombardi said, I think he was talking about two teams. He wouldn't say who they were, obviously, but he did say one of those teams were in the top 10. So one of those quarterback, possibly quarterback-needy teams, either is not going to take that risk or they're trying to throw up these, you know, false signals hoping that he slips to them.
I was going to say, somebody's definitely throwing some kind of signal to somebody based on some of the stuff. Plus, we've seen Tua put out, you know, the videos of at least the physical part of it, him being able to move, showing no issues, at least in terms of being inhibited by the hip or the ankle issue at this point. There is no question with the player, and I'm sure Nick Saban has been very fair with all of these people when they call him to evaluate the player. If you get the healthy version, despite his, you know, look, 15 years ago, we've got concerns about this guy because of the measurables on Tua Tagovailoa. We would have concerns because 70% of the passes he threw at the University of Alabama were 5 yards or less. And those great speedsters like Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs, you know, took the ball down the field after that. But we've also seen him in clutch situations be able to connect on the long ball. We've seen him be mobile enough that when the pocket breaks down, he can extend plays. And the film is why you fall in love with Tua Tagovailoa. But it could be the health that gets you fired eventually as the general manager if he proves to be a brittle guy, just like a former Alabama quarterback at one point, a guy by the name of Joe Namath, who when healthy was as good as there was. The problem was throughout his NFL career, he was never healthy enough, and Tua Tagovailoa could be the kind of guy that if you don't have a good offensive line that keeps him upright most of the time, there's always going to be that possibility surrounding the player because of the amount of injuries that he's had. But you're hoping, and everybody goes into it going, well, we're going to get the guy that can throw the ball 60 yards on a dime to a guy in flight and can keep plays alive and, you know, can throw slant patterns and can hit guys right in stride, because every general manager sees the film and goes, that's the player we're drafting, not the guy that's been broken up or had the significant issues where he's obviously been on that hospital operation table multiple times.
They're going to gamble that their medical staff can keep him right, and maybe they'll be right. You know, look, Thomas Davis ripped up his knee, what, guys, three different times in Carolina?
He's played seven straight years now.
Exactly. He's only missed, I think, six games over the last six seasons or whatever it is. So it can be done. Here's my thing, and I don't know about you guys. At the quarterback position, I value durability so much more than any other position. I look at Russell Wilson, 128 for 128. I look at Kirk Cousins, 5 years in a row, no games missed with the exception of the last regular season game last year because Mike Zimmer forced him out on the bench. I look at Phillip Rivers, 14 years in a row, hasn't missed a start. And Eli Manning, whatever you want to say about Eli Manning, you know, obviously won two Super. He started every game unless he was jerked around by the ownership or the general manager or the coaching staff in New York. To me, durability is so important at that particular position. And it's not only missing games, not missing games. It's can you practice? And those guys that I just mentioned, all they do is practice. Ben Roethlisberger is great, but he's banged up a lot. So, I mean, you can get Ben Roethlisberger, and I think you're fine if you get Ben Roethlisberger. Somebody who can overcome a lot of that, but there's a lot of guys that can't overcome that.
Chad Dukes is power restored. So, all is well in the world as CDVTW, as it should be, will return in about 12 minutes or so, top of the hour at 4 p.m. So, Chad is back after Earl Forsey, Pete Medhurst, and Chris Russell. We've kind of taken over things while Chad was dealing with that power delay and probably ruined his entire show that he's worked so hard for. But we're talking a lot of football, and you brought up Tagovailoa. Well, we did, and we're talking about Tua and the injury stuff and the Michael Lombardi comments. Do you guys, either of you, now Pete had me on, Pete and Danny Ruhe, Danny Ruhe, as Chad likes to call him, had me on their kind of hybrid show this weekend. Have had me on a couple of Sundays. They did a trivia question with me on the Redskins, which I was completely embarrassed with because I know the player, but I didn't know any of the clues for it. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to return the favor, Pete. You probably know this. Or Russell.
I can guarantee
you. You know the last Alabama quarterback as a starter in the NFL to win a playoff game?
Kenny Stabler?
No.
Mike Shula?
No. 1982. New York Jets.
Oh, Richard Todd.
Richard Todd.
Wow.
1982. That is.
Wow.
So, and you don't know. I mean, how many Super Bowl MVPs have come out of quarterback at Michigan until Tom Brady? I mean, you know, you don't know. But the fact is, Alabama's not, well, it's been a football factory. It's not been a quarterback factory when it comes to guys in the NFL.
I heard Grant and Danny tear this argument apart earlier today, so I'm not going to steal for them. I do understand track record. I do understand why certain systems, but when was the last Texas Tech quarterback great before Patrick Mahomes? You know, like people dismissed Patrick Mahomes because he played at Texas Tech in a wackadoo offense, right? And look at what he's done in the NFL. So, you know, we have to be careful about these kind of statistical projections and these kind of like, oh, you know, because because a corner, like with Okuda, the top cornerback in Ohio State, what is it? The last time a cornerback was drafted in the top three, I think, was Sean Springs, which was like, what, 20
years ago?
Look,
I can do this too. I mean, how many former Syracuse running backs have been all pro and Hall of Fame wide receivers in the NFL, except for Art Monk? I mean, we can do that. I know. I'm just saying, I think it's an interesting fact. And the other thing with injuries, remember Tom Brady, 2008, ripped his knee up in that first game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was thought at that time, I mean, it was, what, 9 years or so into his career, thought to be career-threatening at that time. That was 12 years ago.
Yep.
12 seasons ago. He's played more post-knee injury than before that. So you don't know.
And he was rusty that first year back, but he eventually got fully back, and he's Tom Brady. And he's Tom freaking Brady. And
4,300 yards, 4,398 yards, 28 touchdowns in his rusty year back.
You look at all those guys, though, too, that as Alabama got better, they were obviously going to recruit at a higher level. And, you know, after Greg McElroy and A.J. McCarron, and they won games with those guys, well, as you're winning, people want to show up at your place. Well, then all of a sudden, insert Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. So winning helps upgrade your recruiting, which it did at that position at the University of Alabama. And, you know, look at what Ohio State did, you know, with JT Barrett. I mean, that guy's not an NFL quality quarterback, but yet every person at Ohio State you talk to about that guy's ability to lead and make plays when he had to. The college game is so completely different than what they're doing at the NFL level. And I think what you're seeing, though, is, and we saw the Ravens maybe give us a glimpse of this with Lamar Jackson and the fact that they were willing to maneuver for him as opposed to fitting him into a specific system of theirs. You know, we may, if you draft a Justin Herbert, they may look at what he did at Oregon, which was more pro-oriented under Mario Cristobal, more of a I formation running type system, and then, you know, throw off of that. You're going to see teams, I think, adapt more now to the skill set of the player that they draft simply because of the way the college game is going and what those guys are being asked to do, because all those college coaches care about at that level is winning so they can keep a lot of the big money contracts.
Shouldn't they be doing that they're getting already? They should have been doing that for decades. I mean,
no, I agree.
That's
how
you coach. That's how Joe Gibbs won 3 Super Bowls here, adjusting to the players you have. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, but I would say not every coach wants to do that. Jay Gruden did not want to do that in a lot of ways.
Where's Jay now?
That's why I always took offense to, you know, and I like Jay, but everyone that said Jay was such a great play caller, no he wasn't. I think he was a great play designer. I don't think he was a great play caller, because a lot of times he did not adjust well to the personnel that he had, or more importantly, did not have, and the situation that he had or did not have. Hey, guys, real quickly before we run out of time, I just read something. Urban Meyer, I guess, was talking with NFL media. And Earl, this is actually, Pete, this is to your point from earlier. He said, you know, and I think I've heard him say something similar to this, quote, Dwayne Haskins is probably the best quarterback ever to play at Ohio State, but he compared him, you know, to Joe Burrow. And the reason why Dwayne Haskins ultimately won that battle, he said, quote, Joe was a little bit behind. You know why? Joe was also Mr. Ohio in basketball, and they had a great team in the state championships, and he's just all one of those all-purpose tough guy leaders. He said Joe Burrow is a no-brainer, absolute no-brainer. Can he throw as accurately as Dwayne? This is interesting. He's improved, but he wasn't that way. But his leadership skills, his toughness, competitive. You talk about a competitive maniac, that's who Joe Burrow is, end quote. And I think that goes back to the crux of some of the issues and some of the things that I think a bunch of us have heard about Dwayne Haskins.
No different, Russell. No different than he said late last year when he was on one of those podcasts about Joe Burrow, in which he also said that Dwayne Haskins was the best high school recruit he's ever had.
But I mean, he's saying Dwayne Haskins was better at that time. Yeah. But the intangible stuff that coaches really pay attention to, and that isn't easily as quantifiable in box scores and highlights and amongst fans and even media, is the competitive leadership, toughness, competitive mania, work ethic, all of that stuff. That means a lot.
Russell, you and I are crazy about that because you can't measure it with tangible numbers.
Yeah.
All that stuff about heart and leadership and everything else. So we're crazy when it comes to that, right?
Well, I'm just crazy, period.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'll just let you guys just tear me apart on that one.
But you're right. I mean, with the leader, but the whole thing is with that, and you don't know. And that's something, look, you can teach a guy a playbook. You can put together a game plan. You can coach him up, fix his mechanics. You can't coach leadership. And I know, again, it's the analytics generation, and I'm a dinosaur and I'm wrong. But the fact is, you can't measure that. And either a guy has that or he doesn't. You're never going to coach that into him.
That's fair, but okay, I think that's something that's got to develop with him, his new teammates. More importantly now, what we believe, at least in theory, is going to be continuity on the coaching staff. The guy played last year in the midst of an interim staff who did their best. They're all professionals. They did the best they could. But now you're giving him an opportunity to go with a consistent group, and he will have the chance to sink or swim on his own now. And those trends will either develop or they won't, and they'll be back where they were again at the quarterback spot.
Hey, guys, appreciate the help. Pete Medhurst, Chris Russell, WrestleMania 621, Pete Medhurst on Twitter. I'm Earl Forsey. Chad is hooked up again. CDVTW in all its glory will return. I didn't even get into snack foods, to my bourbon preferences, nothing like that. So maybe if there's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.